We made this.
Welcome to the TARDIS Crew, a Doctor Who podcast for the We Made This podcast network. I'm Baz Greenland, and I'm joined as usual in my adventure through time and space by my son Ben, the biggest Doctor Who fan this side of Gallifrey. How are you doing today, Ben?
Hello, yes, I'm good like usual, probably. Some days I'm not as good, but yeah.
Yes. When you talk about Doctor Who, that's a good day.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And you talk about Doctor Who most days.
Yes.
Yes. Do you watch Doctor Who every day?
Not every day, but I probably, like, either listen to it or read it or watch it every day in some form.
Yeah. Doctor Who is a daily part of your life.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Fantastic. So, today, in our fifth episode, it's just us two again. Last time we had a couple of guests on, which was great fun. This time it's just us again, and we are going to be talking about the Masters, plural. So, it's the 50th anniversary of the Master, isn't it? The Master made his debut back in 1971, yes.
Terror of the Autons, episode 1, January 2nd, 1971.
There you go. Ben has all the facts. If I ever get lost, I'm not going to Wikipedia or IMDb. I'll just ask Ben and you will tell me the answer.
Yep. I'm probably more reliable than the Wikipedia page.
There you go. Ben's TARDIS Wikipedia. That's where you need to go now. So, yeah, we're going to talk about the Masters. There have obviously been several Masters, like the Doctor. The Renegade Time Lord has been a recurring presence throughout Doctor Who history since the debut of Roger Delgado's Master back in 1971.
Yep. And like most things, Big Finish have gone and expanded on that, with First and Second Doctors having met the Master also. I'm not going to say Hartnell and Troughton, because obviously they're not around anymore, so they had to be recast, but yeah.
Yeah,
but they're incarnations.
Yeah, but we've had David Bradley's Doctor version, or as I say, we've had David Bradley's version of the First Doctor meet Master in
yes.
some form. Yeah.
And then we had Fraser Hines' Second Doctor also meet the Master.
Cool. So big history there. And what are your thoughts generally on the Master as a character?
Yeah, I really like the Master as a character. Like, I know he's not to everyone's taste, but like the Doctors as well, with his multiple incarnations, you can definitely have a particular version which is more your flavour.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think as well, what I really like about the Master is how they become the mirror of the Doctor. So I think Roger Delgado's Master was very much the Moriarty to Pertwee's Doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think in some ways that core relationship between the two of them is in some ways still the best relationship of the Doctor-Master dynamic we've had in Doctor Who.
I'd probably argue the only one that comes close, maybe beats it, or up to that level would be Capaldi and Gomez.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We love Missy, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to talk about each Master kind of in the same way as we did with our second episode, The Best of Each Doctor, but probably not quite as lengthy as that. But we're going to talk about each Master, and then we'll probably give some rankings at the end, aren't we?
Indeed we are.
So, shall we get into it and start where it all began with Roger Delgado's Master?
Yes. I mean, chronologically, there is a Master before him, but we'll come back to that.
We'll come back to that, absolutely, yeah. So, do you want to give us a little bit of an overview of Delgado's Master?
He, as you said, and was designed to be, the Moriarty to John Pertwee's Doctor in order to keep the show afloat, quite fresh. And their dynamic is something really special throughout that run. People could always talk about the unit family of the Third Doctor's run, but the Master's like that naughty uncle character who's always a significant part of it, but it's not as inharmonious with the others, I would say. And he's definitely I'd only argue Jacoby could rival this in his suave, almost kindly at times, nature with a fiery evil boiling underneath, which when he lets go, it causes mass chaos and usually backfires on him.
Yeah, he has a lot of charm to him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
In some ways, probably more charming than Pertwee's Doctor. I love Pertwee's Doctor, but he's quite brisk at times. And actually, I think it's the Master who's a little bit more, has got more of that suave charm style to him.
Yeah, definitely. Like him as the Vicar in The Daemons, or his scenes with Pertwee in the prison in The Sea Devils, which I'm fairly sure we mentioned in the Best of Doctors podcast.
Yeah. So before we get into the episodes maybe that we want to talk about briefly about Doug Arlo's Master, what are your favourite character dynamics between the Master and the other members of, what you said, the UNIT family?
It would definitely be the Third Doctor and also his dynamics with Joe.
There's a really interesting thing. I think probably more than any other Master, you know, maybe a little bit with Missy, with, I guess, Clara Bill, a little bit. Yeah. Again, I think probably the closest. I think the Master's relationship with Joe is almost as fully fledged as her relationship with the Doctor in some ways.
It's no surprise Joe was put into the Masterful box set Big Finish released earlier this year, also because it is her 50th anniversary as well, but because of the relationship she has with the Master, which was very much touched on and expanded upon in August's War Master Killing Time set, which, that is a very, very good story. I'd advise listening to that.
Yeah, I think when we talk about the War Master, which is Jacoby's Master, I know he had a very brief screen time, particularly was the Master himself.
Yeah.
But I think we have to talk about his Big Finish work because it's amazing. But we'll get onto that.
Yes.
So we talk about his core relationships there with the Doctor and with Joe. So what are your favourite stories featuring Delgado's Master?
I think I have two. The only one that features Delgado in it, I would have to say, The Sea Devils. I really, really like that story, and as I've mentioned quite a lot now, the prison interactions and also his attempts to just destroy the peace, trying to get the Sea Devils to fight with the humans, and then the ending of the Master escaping, and you just see Pertwee's face like, oh, not again.
Yeah, I think, for me, there were two stories that really stand out for me. One is The Sea Devils. I love everything about the Doctor and the Master relationship in there, that sword fight, the kind of the mental and physical chess games. It's all great to see them bouncing off each other.
It's a bit more like a physical representation of Seven and Fenric in a way.
Yeah, I can see that, absolutely. And I think the other one for me, because it's bonkers fun, is the Master as this evil, twisted Vicar in The Daemons. It's a real fun way to round out his first season on the show.
Indeed. Big Finish also did an audio novel, as they call them, Terror of the Master, which was released in conjunction with Masterful, which is great. It has a very good impression from John Coleshaw, but I'd say my second favourite story featuring this Master is Doorway to Hell, which is a Doctor Who magazine comic featuring Capaldi's Doctor, not Capaldi performing, because it was a comic, but it shows the 12th Doctor meeting the Delgado Master, which eventually culminates in the Delgado Master regenerating.
Wow, that's a lot of fun. I guess that's probably the thing about the Master. He didn't get his ending that we were going to get because of the tragic death of Delgado.
Yeah, Frontier in Space's final moments are not the best.
See, I really like him in Frontier in Space.
Oh, yeah.
I love him pulling the strings of this galactic conflict. Frontier in Space is actually one of my favourite Third Doctor stories. I would love to see the Draconians back. I really like the Master pulling the strings. And then it kind of ends with this always ally with the Daleks and then doesn't go anywhere. It's a real shame because I know there were plans to bring him back for what would have been Pertwee's final season. And that's kind of instead of Planet of the Spiders, which I'm not a fan of, though I love the regeneration. I know you're a bigger fan of Planet of the Spiders than I am. I think that would have been a final confrontation between the Master and the Doctor.
Yeah, although if that had happened, obviously we wouldn't have ended up getting the likes of Jacoby, Sim and Missy.
Oh, absolutely. So it's a real shame that we didn't get that closure. Obviously, it's a real tragedy that Delgado was, he was killed in a car crash, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was filming a film somewhere, I don't remember off the top of my head, and in a car crash, and he was killed.
Yeah.
Which is really upsetting.
Really, really, really sad, yeah. And so, obviously, I think, understandably, that's why it took quite a while before they brought back another version of the Master, which is obviously in the Tom Baker era, and we'll talk about it in a moment. But a couple more things on Delgado's Master before we move on then. That first season had him appear in every episode, every story. Do you think that actually worked?
I think so, yes. But only because some of them, like Colony in Space, he doesn't appear for half of the story. He's a more late-game appearance, like in Colony, which is a six-part episode story. I believe he pops up in episode 4, I think, about midway through that instalment.
So I haven't actually seen Colony in Space. There's a few gaps in my Third Doctor viewing, only a few now, and Colony in Space is one of them. So I don't know, I kind of feel like, I know I haven't seen every story of that season, but having him constantly reappear, it becomes a bit of a trope very quickly. So
yeah,
I can't see it happening now. I think the recurring presence is great, and I think the way he caps off his first season with the Daemons is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. It's interesting to note how they were meant to be taking a break from him, and then story-wise, it was only 3 stories later he pops up in the Sea Devils, and then there's only one story between that and the Time Monster.
Yeah, and the Sea Devils is great. I mean, we said it. I think for us, it probably is our favourite Third Doctor and Delgado Master story. Yes.
So, moving on then. Obviously, the Master didn't reappear until 1976, I think, with the Deadly Assassin. Bit tasteless, maybe, bringing him back as a corpse. But the all-infamous Crispy Master, as he's known, I think to lump him and Beavers together is probably a wise move.
So, did you like what we're going to call Crispy Master?
Yeah, I really like the Crispy Master. I think I like the name more than the character, in a way.
It's a very interesting take on the Master, and I guess it creates this big gap between him and Delgado, obviously very different to Delgado, so it doesn't feel like it's treading on Delgado's toes.
It's the personification of the Master's desperation as a character, and again, Big Finish do smooth over the transition gaps. But yeah, Delgado regenerates into his last incarnation, who then, for reasons I won't say, because that would spoil something, he is then made into the Crispy Master. Technically, the Ainley Master and the Roberts Master is also the same incarnation. He's a very confusing timeline, especially when you look at Ravenous 4.
That's very confusing. I guess we'll get onto those in a moment.
He keeps reverting back to the Crispy Master, which I find quite cool, and then I think it's, I'm not sure if Alex McQueen's the same one, but I know then when they resurrect him as Jacoby, that's like, no more Crispy.
Yeah, no more Crispy. Okay, so we had two actors playing Crispy Master, didn't we? We had the Master from The Deadly Assassin, I think, which is brilliant, the way he's manipulating the Doctor and the assassination of the President of Gallifrey. There's some really dark, twisted stuff in that story. I think I can see why it's a fan favourite. And then he turns up at the end to still pawn this is Dad's body and become what we knew as the Alien Master. Before we get to that point in The Keeper of Traken, we've got him, Crispy Master, back, looking a little less crispy, I would say.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure, again, somewhere down the line, Big Finish explained his slightly more rejuvenated appearance, but I don't remember that off the top of my head. But yeah, he definitely had a very much big presence in the early Big Finish main range stories, and then most of the Tom Baker run they do, because originally they asked Ainley back and he declined for reasons, so they went, well, okay, and then they brought in Beavers to make more for the Crispy Master.
So we have in Deadly Assassin, then we have Peter Pratt.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Jeffrey Beavers plays him in The Keeper of Traken.
Yes. And all the subsequent Big Finish appearances.
Cool. So then we get on to, so what did you think of the return of, well, first the return of the Crispy Master and the Deadly Assassin? Was that effective?
I think so, yeah. Again, as I said, maybe a bit tasteless making him a corpse, but what can you do?
Cool. And then, of course, you get into The Keeper of Traken. And what do you think of the reveal of the Master in that story?
I think that's very effectively done, because you're not sure really who it is, and even the recasting means the voice is different as well. So it's only at the end of part three, when he is revealed to be inside Melka, it's like, oh, okay, he's back.
Yeah, I love Melka. I love Keeper Traken. I think Keeper Traken is probably my favourite of that trilogy of stories that goes through Logopolis and Christopherba. Yeah.
So, what would you say is your favourite Crispy Master story?
For me, I mean, I haven't listened to the Big Finish with Beavers Master, okay, so yes, I'm going to say Deadly Assassin. It has to be Deadly Assassin. It's a Tom Baker classic for a reason.
Mm. I find that a bit overrated, but if I could go with my favourite Crispy Master story, it would probably be a Big Finish short trip called I Am the Master, which is like a story told on a radio format by the Master. It's just his voice in your ear for about 45 minutes, which in typical Master fashion, he then ends up killing you.
Nice. Yeah.
It's a very good story. Find it if you can. It was on the Masterful Deluxe Edition. It got re-released, but it's also like $2.99 on the website as a short trip.
There you go. Ben publicising their Big Finish. We love a Big Finish. So, yes.
Sponsor us.
Sponsor us. Cool. And then we get that twist where he steals Nissa's dad's body and becomes the much-loved Ainley Master, Anthony Ainley Master, yes, which runs through the rest of the classic run of Doctor Who.
Mm. It's something I very much hope they do with the Master in the Revival, possibly Sacha Dhawan, doing a Master which runs over multiple Doctors.
Mm. Yeah, I think I've loved each version of the Master we've had in modern Doctor Who. I think John Sim less so, and that's probably controversial, but we'll come on to John Sim soon. But yeah, I would like a Master that runs lots. I love Sacha Dhawan, and because Jodie Whittaker's only got a handful of episodes left, I really hope Sacha Dhawan's Master does continue onto multiple Doctors.
Yes.
That being said, we have had John Sim back with Capaldi as well, so we have had a little bit of that in a very clever Moffat way.
So why the Master's always so linear with the Doctor? It's like what Doorway to Hell does. It shows, yet these characters are still time travellers. They can still meet out of order.
Mm. Going back to Ainsley's Master, are you a fan of this version?
I quite like him, yeah. He's not my favourite, but there's no Master I really dislike other than maybe the child in Sound of Drums. I don't know.
Okay, so Ainsley's Master then, he appeared in the finale. He's responsible for the Fourth Doctor's death, and then he's very much a recurring presence with the Fifth Doctor. I think with the Fifth Doctor, they tried to recapture that John Pertwee for, didn't they, with a recurring Master. And then again, in the Sixth Doctor is it two?
He's in Mark of the Rani, and then he's in the concluding part of Trial of a Time Lord, the Ultimate Foe.
Of course he is. And then he appears in Survival with Sylvester McCoy as well.
Yes, he does.
What is your favourite story to feature Ainsley's Master?
I think that's more of a tough one, considering, because this Master doesn't have much Big Finish. I'd probably say either a book called The Quantum Archangel, which is a Time Monster sequel with the Sixth Doctor and Mel and the Master, or Cash Gravalva, maybe? I really like Cash Gravalva. It's a very underrated little story.
It's a good story. I think it drags on a little bit too long.
I don't think so.
But it is a good story. I don't know. I think there are ones that are a bit poor, like The King's Demons, and there are some really good ones as well. For me, though, I think the two that stand out, there was a Big Finish very, very recently for The Time Lord Victorious.
Oh, you're on about Lesser Evils.
Lesser Evils with John Coleshaw doing the impression of his Master. Yes. That was great.
That impression is really, really, really good. Even the laugh, when he does the angry laugh, the inflections are perfect.
Yeah, that was a really good story. And I thought Coleshaw's impression was brilliant. But I still think, for me, it's Survival. I think Survival is when the Master is best. He's the most kind of evil and cunning. And I love that battle between the Seventh Doctor and the Master, who's kind of become half cat and become very, very feral on the planet as it's breaking apart. It's a really great climactic story. And I know it wasn't really intended to be the end of Doctor Who, as it was at the time when the series was cancelled. I think coming back to the Doctor and the Master fighting each other for Survival is a great way to kind of bring the show to that climax at the time.
Mm. Which obviously wasn't intended, because the Survival speech was a very late game thing, quickly written by Andrew Cartmell. And I believe Ghostlight was the last one they recorded, so not intentional by any means, but yeah, when you look at it, it definitely does work very well. Also, why does everyone in Survivor have the same birthday? Sylvester McCoy, Sophie Aldred, and Anthony Ainley all have the same birthday. It's slightly scary. A bit like George Tennant and David Tennant. Their whole fiasco.
Fiasco? Okay, well, we stop words.
I say fiasco, like, they met on the 23rd of November, which is also quite weird considering that's Doctor Who's birthday.
Oh, there you go. Cool, so then we move on to the 1996 TV movie and Eric Roberts as the Master. Are you a fan of this version?
Definitely more so now Big Finish have started doing stuff with him. I was never opposed to him, like a lot of people. He's the most camp Master we've ever had.
Yeah, I would have called Ainsley's Master quite camp, and then Eric Roberts comes along and he camps him out.
Yeah, he always dresses for the occasion. But yeah, I actually do really like this Master, and I think he does need more recognition.
I think the TV movie is one of the ones that every time you go back and watch it, I find more I like about it. I mean, Paul McGann was brilliant anyway, his Big Finish work is phenomenal, and we are going to do a podcast very soon, aren't we?
Yes,
on the Eighth Doctor and Big Finish, because you have to listen to it, it's so good. But
Big Finish and the podcast.
Absolutely, yes. Podcast first, then go figure. Maybe listen to Big Finish and then come on for the podcast.
It's all really good.
It's all really good. It's all great.
Yeah.
Great content throughout. And he was always really good in the TV movie. And obviously, the 50th anniversary Night of the Doctor is just a fabulous piece of Doctor Who as well.
Yes.
But I kind of grow to like more and more of the TV movie the more I watch it. I think Eric Roberts is really, really camp. He's obviously, it's very silly. It's very over the top. It's not subtle in the slightest, but I kind of quite like the flamboyant, bombastic style of him, particularly in those final scenes.
Yeah, on the steps with the robes and everything. So have you listened to any of Eric Roberts' Big Finish?
No, I haven't. I've listened to some of Masterful. So I've listened to bits of it in that, definitely, but I haven't listened to any of his solo stuff yet.
So I guess you would say TV movies your favourite appearance of him? Or Masterful, could be that.
I think it has to be TV movie. It's not great, but it's the only one I've got to draw on.
So, for me, he has a few Big Finish appearances. He is one with Riversong, which he does quite camp there as well with the plot. There was his recent spin-off set from Big Finish, which was really good. Actually, surprisingly good. But I'm going to have to give the best away with him to Day of the Master, the concluding two-parter to the fourth Ravenous set, which he does also share with Jacoby and Missy. But the whole story in that is a phenomenal story. And you get Roberts and McGann meeting again and having a rematch. For continuity reasons, Jacoby and Missy don't meet Eight, but
though Jacoby's Master has obviously met the Eighth Doctor several times now on Big Finish.
Yeah, got the old memory wipe. Poor Eight. Seriously. That's going to have to be a topic we touch on in the Big Finish podcast.
I think
he gets so much.
We do.
Yes. But Day of the Master is just a phenomenal story. That whole set, actually, Ravenous 4, is brilliant. But Roberts is absolutely great in that story. So, yeah.
Cool. So, I think there's a few other what we'll call random Masters, like the Big Finish stuff.
Yeah.
We'll come back to those at the end, yeah?
Yeah, we'll sidestep into them at the end.
So let's go on to the modern Masters, and the Masters of modern Doctor Who.
Which, technically, we start off with Big Finish anyway.
We do, so let's talk about Derek Jacobi's Master.
Alrighty then. So, if you were to look at the alpha male of the Masters, it would definitely be a toss-up between Delgado and Jacobi. And at times, I honestly say Jacobi, because he is the best at playing, like, the kindly person who's your friend, and then he'll snap and destroy your entire life.
Yeah.
Exactly what he does to Jo in the Big Finish I mentioned earlier, pretending to be her kindly old uncle, and then when he reveals himself, he's just manipulated her entire life. He leaves her broken because of what he's doing, and then he goes and meets Nyssa and is like pretending to be her partner until she realises this is the man who killed her father, and then he leaves her for dead. He is ruthless when he wants to be.
He is absolutely ruthless, and he's Brilliant. Yeah. He's your kindly old granddad who will slit your throat without a moment's hesitation. It's like that. It's like,
that's an image I love. I mean, this man rewrote Genesis of the Daleks. The fourth War Master box set is literally what if he created the Daleks. He kills Davros.
Yeah, there's so much great stuff in the Big Finish audio. Mm-hmm. So let's bring it back to the TV series a moment. I think his, 5 minutes as the Master?
Yeah.
Is better than any of John Sims' masterwork. Possibly outside of World Enough of Time.
Okay, yeah. If we keep it to the Tenant era, then yeah, I'll agree with you on that. Definitely.
He absolutely steals the show, and it's such a shame that someone as great as Derek Jacobi only got 5 minutes. I mean, I quite liked his professor in the rest of Utopia in season 3. It was a really good character, and you really liked him. He's really. And that twist when he becomes a master is just fantastic, because I remember the time when it came out, and this was before you were watching Doctor Who regularly. I know there were hints of the master coming, but it was never thought at any point that Jacobi, his character, would be the master. You thought he was going to come later. So the fact that he regenerates into the master and switches from kindly old man to absolutely ruthless murder is fantastic.
Yeah. You get a bit of a hint earlier in the episode with the fob watch, because if you're listening carefully, you can hear Ainley's laugh echoing, but people who were just growing up with the revival, they wouldn't know what that means, and some people probably wouldn't even have picked up on that. Yeah. But then for those who would have, it would have been an awake moment.
Yeah, it was great. I think the closest they've got to that, they've done it a few times. They've done it with Missy, and they've done it with Sacha Dhawan's master as well.
Mm.
And it's great when the character you don't think is, you think someone's a good guy, or someone maybe you're not expecting, becomes that villain. Yeah. It's a great moment. They've done it a few times in modern Doctor Who.
Admittedly, Missy was rumoured to be many people, including the Rani. Everyone wants everyone to be the Rani these days.
Yeah. Well, that would be the more obvious route, I think, for her. So, Derek Jacobi's master is great, and his War Master box sets are just some of my absolute favourite stuff on Big Finish. I've reviewed every single one of them, and I can't speak high enough of them. I think Derek Jacobi does a fantastic work. The director, Scott Hancock, who basically produces them, he does such great work in bringing this world to life. You know, there was amazing stuff in that set. There's so many amazing stories, and I think for me, the best of Big Finish is the War Master currently.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah. And there's a lot of good stuff.
Yes. Set 2 is the only one I haven't listened to yet, and set 3, admittedly, I know it has Paul McGann on the cover, bit of a dud. But
I like that one.
Set 3 is not widely loved at all. I'd go for my favourite War Master story being, I mean, it could go Day of the Master, because he's in that, but I won't. I'm going to go the entirety of set 5, Hearts of Darkness, which also has McGann in it. That has definitely been my favourite War Master set they've done. I just loved every minute of it, and the midway twist is brilliant.
Yeah.
Set 4 is also very, very good, and I'm looking forward to set 7 and 8 next year, but especially set 7 with the rematch of him and David Tennant.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff there to come as well. I think for me, it's a toss-up between the fourth set, Anti-Genesis, which is just the Master winning at every level, and then
rewriting Genesis.
Basically, rewriting the history of Doctor Who, and of course, it's the Master succeeding, and of course, he succeeds, and everything goes to pot and has to be undone. And I think the latest one, you kind of went to quite spoiler territory there with the Nyssa and Joe stuff, but yeah, the very latest set, which was called
Killing Time.
Yeah, the latest set, Killing Time. It's just superb, and I highly recommend it. There's some really, really good stuff there in all four episodes, but those two middle ones are just phenomenal. So I think that last 5 minutes of Utopia and Killing Time are probably going to be my two favourite War Fair Masters. Enough. But I think we need to do a War Master discussion separately.
Yeah, that should be on the line.
Yeah.
So, John Sim.
So he appeared in the end of Utopia and was the villain at the end of the third series. What are your thoughts on John Sim's Master?
He's probably my least favourite of the new Who Masters, but I still really like him. he starts off as like the more zany sort of master, which I like, and then just goes to just bonkers Skeletor, which probably isn't the best. Although, and I know, like, him turning everyone on Earth into the Master is a very stupid idea, but I find that quite fun. And then you get to World Enough and Time the Doctor Fools, where he's a lot more dark and calculating Master, and he's got the beard, which I think definitely works, because if he was still in that more goofy persona against Capaldi, he would not have worked at all.
No. I mean, he works absolutely as the mirror to David Tennant's Master. They're both very energetic. They're both very lively characters. They're always leaping and running around and stuff.
And the Master's case, actually fully leaping into the air.
Yeah. Well, let's split the two stories apart briefly. I know we haven't done much in the others, but I think there's quite distinct character arcs.
There's like the Tennant-y Sim and the Capaldi-y Sim.
Yeah. So, on the Tennant-y Sim, I think... I really like him in The Sound of Drums. I think it's some really good stuff. It gets very dark and twisted and manic, and that scene when he gets the cabinet with the mask on is just brilliant. It's really, really sinister stuff. And I think I love him in that episode. And then last, the Time Lords. I adore the Martha storyline in there. I'm really glad that Big Finish are going back and kind of revisiting that.
Yeah, in December.
In December, yeah. That year of Martha's travels across.
There's also... BBC Books also released like a novel of that back in 2008 or something.
Okay, cool. So there's Regos off there, but I do find him just a little bit over the top. But when he comes back in the End of Time as his leaping around Skeleton Master with the bleached blonde hair, I hate it. I'm not a big fan at all of the End of Time. I find the first part really, really grim and depressing for a Christmas Day episode. It was miserable to watch. And he is too over the top. There's maybe good stuff towards the end, but I was never particularly a fan. But when he came back in the World Enough in Time and...
The Doctor Falls.
The Doctor Falls, that's it. Oh, he was so good. With Missy, and there's that scene when he's just there doing the eyeliner with Missy in the room, which is brilliant.
And there's that moment where he's like fancying Missy, and he's like, is it wrong to... And Missy's like, yes it is.
Yeah, absolutely. They did that very much in the Loki series, didn't they?
The Loki is very much a parallel between the Masters.
And, yeah, he was great. And if that's the final appearance of him, then I'm happy that he got a really, really good, solid story to end on.
Yeah, and then also bleeding into his regeneration, which...
Yes, which comes to Missy.
Yes. Also, best story of John Sim, I think we can both agree it's World Enough and Time the Doctor Falls.
Yes, absolutely. Doctor Falls, definitely.
I know that the reveal was spoiled, but I actually spent that episode while watching it going, so when's the Master going to turn up with Razor right there? I only realised when Missy and Razor met and Razor started talking, I was like, okay.
Yeah, I really, really frustrating that they... announced that he was returning, because it would have just been wow, it would have been a blow your mind moment. But there you go, it's great. And you're right, we knew John Cena was coming back, and you're watching him the whole time, you don't realize it's him, which is brilliant. So Missy, then
the best Master.
Wow.
No contest, that she is the best incarnation.
Michelle Gomez, I mean, anything she's in, she is just absolute delight to watch. And I listen to
in Big Finish.
Or listen to, yeah. The Big Finish stuff is so funny. Mm-hmm. It's so, so good.
I'm looking forward to the Missy and the Monk set next week.
Yes, absolutely.
So, next week from us recording this.
Yeah, it would have come out. And when this podcast goes, I think we try and record maybe a month or two ahead. So, yeah, we would have... It would have come up by now. But yeah, Missy on Big Finish is just an absolute delight. You know, it's they replug the Twisted May Poppins, and the one I remember most I really, really loved was the one when she's playing essentially this detective on a TV show.
Yeah.
Talking to the camera. I was in tears. It was so good, so funny. But yeah, there's some really, really great stuff there. And our stuff with the monk, played by Rufus Hound, the meddling monk, returns in Big Finish. And the two of them together is just electric. It's great.
Hence why they've decided to make a whole set around it.
Absolutely. But yeah, on TV, what were your thoughts then? Because you were watching Doctor Who properly by the time we got round to Series 8.
So what were your
thoughts on Missy when she kept turning up in these episodes?
I wasn't sure who she was going to be. I thought I was like, ooh, nice mystery. And then when it gets to the reveal, it's like, oh, okay, that's really cool. But her interactions, like, with Capaldi in Darkwater when he doesn't know it's her, that's really good. And then, like, it switches and then they have this really big frenemy dynamic leading to the redemption arc, which I really like in series 10, actually.
Yeah, she has quite a journey. Yeah, I loved it. And I think what it really did, Moffat was really clever at sowing the seeds for the idea of different genders on the Time Lords. Because we've talked about it in our 13th Doctor podcast, all kudos to Chris Chibnall. I know we're not particularly fans of his writing.
Yeah.
For bringing a female Doctor and bringing more diversity in the show, all for that. And when they announced that it was going to be a female Doctor, what Moffat really did was sow the seeds of that with Missy. He took an iconic character who is really second to the Doctor in terms of being able to do this, and it could have completely fallen flat on its face. But someone as good as Michelle Gomez, well, it was absolutely amazing to watch, and she absolutely sold it, and it really helped sow the seeds for having a female Doctor now, which is all for. It's really, really great.
Yeah. She's also possibly the most, other than Skeletor Sim, she's possibly the most deranged Master.
Completely deranged. Michelle Gomez is just a delight. I could watch, you know, you talked about, we had like Delgado being in every episode of the first season. I could watch Missy. I could watch a Missy series. I could watch Missy in every episode of Doctor Who, you know, to an extent, I guess.
She was in like half of series 10. So.
She was just so much fun, and she plays off Capaldi so, so well. And I love her. And when she turns up again in The Magician's Apprentice and the
Witch is Familiar.
Oh, the scenes with Clara when she throws off the, when she pushes into the cliff and stuff, and that, it's all great, you know.
And the stick.
Oh, you know, every line, Moffat's dialogue and Michelle Gomez's performance is just electric. And yeah, I really, really enjoyed her episodes in series 10 and the redemptive arc. And I think I find it really hard. What's your favourite episode or story to feature Missy?
I mean, there's loads I could say. I could say the series 9 opener, I really like that. I could say the series 10 finale. I could say most of the first Missy box set. There's a book, a short story, where she just makes like a Facebook group with women from history to try and take down the patriarchy, and that's just that is a brilliant story. I can't really pinpoint just one for Missy.
Yeah, I find it really hard. I think it might have to be same as Sims Doctor. Sims Master. World enough at time, and the Doctor falls, because it's got the redemptive arc of Missy, it's got her playing off John Sims' Master. But for me, if you know, my favourite scene, and it's very, I think, very close, because I also think The Witch is Familiar is also a really good episode for her. It's the scene when she comes up the TARDIS, I'm Doctor Who, and she's trying to play the Doctor with exposition and all the characters. It's just that every moment of that scene when she steps up the TARDIS, being the Doctor with companions Bill Nardal, is just so, so good.
Yeah, well, Capaldi's just in the TARDIS eating crisps.
Yeah, watching it. Yeah.
I wonder if those are the crisps from Birmingham he sent Nardal to get from in Oxygen. Maybe they are the crisps.
There you go. You know these things. You pick up on these things.
Perhaps.
No, yeah. that's your dedication and focus to Doctor Who. But yeah, I loved her. And I'm really glad that we get more Big Finish. And I would love to see her back. I don't know where they would do it. And I still think there's so much more Missy's story to be seen as well.
I mean, there's whole rumours of her being in Series 13 or some of the specials. Don't know how true that's going to be, but
yeah, I wonder what she'd be like with Sacha Dhawan's Master.
Oh,
very good.
60th anniversary, but it's not a multi-Doctor story.
It's the Masters. I like it.
Yeah, Jodie's final story. Her and
Jacoby.
Yep. Her, Jacoby, Sim, Missy and Dhawan all just versus 13.
I'm all for that.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's how we do it.
There you go. That's what it is. So, I know there's a couple of other Big Finish stuff to talk about as well, and we'll get onto those before we wrap up, but let's finish on the TV side with Sacha Dhawan's Master.
Yes, as you probably know by now, by our opinions, he's the best part of Whitaker's era, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think he brings Series 12 to life.
Yeah.
And
that reveal is
Yeah.
Excellent.
I mean, they did great Master of Yours. They did it with Jacoby. They did it with Missy. And they do it again with Dewan's Master.
And, like, to an extent, Sim in World Enough and Time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's when he just turns from this kind of slightly bumbling, likeable ally of the Doctor and then just switches into the Master in those final scenes of Spyfall Part 1. It was the first time in the Chibnall era of Doctor Who that I actually went, wow. I did not see this coming. It was so good. It was a real highlight of the episode. And he, seeing him at his most demented self in Spyfall Part 2 was a real delight to watch.
Yeah. You can also tell in Spyfall Part 1, he's just waiting to reveal himself to the Doctor. She picks that one tiny flaw in his plan that she notices, which he could have easily papered over to continue. But he's like, well, I may as well reveal myself. Yay.
Yeah. It's a little bit like Sim's Master, which kind of makes sense because so much of 13th Doctor's Doctor Who feels like trying to replay the best of Rossi Davies's 10th Doctor era.
Yeah.
But it absolutely works and he still feels very much his own character as well. And while I kind of, we've talked a bit about Thomas Children before and I hate what he did with Gallifrey, the Master himself is so good in that. So good. He is utterly ruthless and demented. I don't like the fate of Gallifrey. I don't like the fact that the Doctor is basically talked to for like half the episode.
I do hope the Master is revealed to be the Timeless Child, because I think based on the character throughout the years, that would make more sense.
Mm. I don't know. We'll see. I'd be very, very surprised if Sacha Dhawan doesn't return in the next series.
Yeah, or at least the specials. Yeah.
Yeah, he has to be. He is so, so good. And yeah, I love the actor in that role, and yeah, I could absolutely watch more of him.
Oh. The centenary special is either going to be the Masters teamed up, or it's going to be the Sacha Master teaming up with Tim Shaw. Oh no, Chibnall's greatest hit, so to speak.
Let's not go there.
Yeah.
So a couple more Masters before we wrap up and rank them then. So we go right back to let's ignore the Kid Master. I know the Kid Master turns up in Master 4.
I mean, yeah, they have like a teenage version of him. He's decent, yeah. Actually. He's not bad.
Yeah, but you might be thinking there were two other Masters there. Alex McQueen's Master.
Yeah, I mean, there's Gordon Tipple, but he's literally done nothing. Big Finish do stuff with Gordon Tipple.
Is he the Master at the very beginning of
the movie,
the TV movie?
They're right. There's actually a deleted scene from the movie where he does the voiceover instead of McGann at the start, but swapped it out.
Okay, yeah, because he's very much not into when he gets killed by a Dalek. So Big Finish have expanded his character as well.
No, not really, actually. Gordon Tipple's not had anything.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so they should.
So there's obviously there's room there for that. So we've got Alex McQueen, who is the Master in the Eighth Doctor era of Dark Eyes.
Yeah, well, technically he's in Dark Eyes, then he's in Seventh Doctor story, what was it called, Unit Dominion, and then he's also in a main range, The Two Masters, with Jeffrey Beavers. And he's in a Colin Baker main range called Vampire of the Mind, and then Master 4 as well.
Yeah, so I have listened to most of Dark Eyes, so I have listened to some of him, but it's been quite a long time ago. So
yeah,
he was really good, but I don't remember enough about him, but I really liked him and his banter with Paul McGann's Doctor.
Yeah, it's been quite a while since I've heard a lot of those stories and haven't listened to them all, but I remember really liking his incarnation. Mm. He was a very fun one, quite charming as well.
Yeah.
And then I remember when Masterful was released, he was one of the Masters more predominantly featured, and I quite appreciate that because it was nice to hear him back again.
Yeah.
And then we have the original Master, so to speak, ignoring all the controversy about the actor who plays him. He's not the best Master. He's probably quite a normal sort of Master. I like him. Like, obviously, actor, no. But that incarnation, I don't mind him. He's decent as the Master.
He was decent. He turned up in the first Doctor Adventures with the recast actors from
Adventure
in Time and Space. So, David Bradley's Doctor, first Doctor.
Yeah, and then
Doctor.
He's in a second Doctor Early Adventures and a McCoy main range. I believe, like, Big Finch recorded a Tom Baker with him, but that's probably not going to happen anymore.
No, so there was a lot of controversy over the actor and comments he made. So that's why he's not going to appear anymore. But the one thing I really liked about that Master I remember was the relationship with Susan as well. because Susan recognised him as well as the Doctor, because obviously Susan was there with the Doctor at the beginning.
Yeah.
And they recognised him from Gallifrey, so there was some really interesting stuff there with that dynamic in the very early days. Very much like prequel setting up for the Delgado John Pertwee Doctor Master relationship. Yeah, some of that shared history that was hinted about in the show was explored a little bit more in that story, so I appreciate that too. But we're not going to see more of him, and that's fine. I mean, the actor shouldn't be involved anymore, from what I understand.
Yeah, Big Finish fired him, I believe.
Yeah, from one. Good. Yeah, so I don't know enough about it, but I know some of the comments you made, so absolutely, that's the right decision. Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a good master, but we probably don't need to see more of this master anyway. He's like the early one there who was like the adult first one on Gallifrey.
Yeah. And Alex McQueen's master, I really like, he had a lot of charm to him.
Yes.
And we'd like to see more of him. But
I think hopefully.
Yeah, he's much an original one there. We've also got technically Mark Gatiss's master.
Yes, Unbound.
Who turns up in one of the War Master sets, and I really like him.
Like an alternate universe master, he's in Masterful as well, and he's in some of the Bernie Summerfield sets and the Unbound range. He's quite a good master as well, actually. Yeah. Mark Gatiss plays him well.
He does play him very, very well, yeah. So yeah, I think that's really all the masters we've discussed. A lot of them are there.
Yeah, there's a child one in the Time War in some 11th Doctor comics, but he does barely anything.
Yeah, so that's fine. There's going to be more versions.
And then there's the Lumiat.
There is technically the Lumiat, isn't there, as well?
Yeah, like the Valiard of the Master, the good one transitioning between Missy and Dewan.
Yeah, that's quite a cool one as well. So we get. She was really good. Gina McKee played her, and she was really good in one of the Missy sets as well. So
she has a cameo in Masterful as well, which is good.
Yeah, so that was really good. So, you know, the Valiard to the Master is actually it's a good Master. So that was really good. Another female one as well. So yeah, lots there. So. What is your favourite master? You've probably already said it's Missy, yeah?
Missy's my favourite, yeah.
Yeah. Let's, rather than rank them all, let's do your top three masters.
Okay. Top three, probably Missy, Jacoby and Dewan, I'd say, with Delgado and possibly Roberts or McQueen in 4 and 5.
Okay, we're going with a top five then.
Yeah.
So you're Missy.
Yes. Then Dewan.
Dewan.
Then Jacoby. And then
Delgado.
Yes, and then I think actually fifth place is a top up between McQueen, Roberts, and Delgado.
There you go. Fab. So
actually, no, I said Delgado. Sim,
yeah. Okay, cool. And then for me, really, really hard. Sometimes it's the original is the best, and you can't get away from how good Delgado is. I think for me, it's Jacoby, though. Derek Jacoby's War Master is so, so good. So I'm going to go with Derek Jacoby. I hate to say it, sorry Delgado, but I think Michelle Gomez is Missy, then Delgado's Master. Yeah, and then after that, Sacha Dhawan's Master. And after that, probably Ain Lee, because it's the one I remember. I remember Survivor as a kid, so it's possibly that one as well.
Yeah, fair enough. Nostalgia factor.
For nostalgia factor there as well. So yeah, they're all great in their own way, and you know, long may they may continue. I think they will continue to pop up as long as there's Doctor Who.
Because, yeah, especially considering Delgado and Ainley now have John Coleshaw impressions, hopefully they can start popping up some 3rd and 5th Doctor Adventures ranges.
Absolutely.
Or 6th and 7th as well, in Delgado's case.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Yeah,
actually, in Ainley's case.
I think his Delgado impression was fine.
Yeah.
Not great, but his Ainley impression was really, really good.
The Terror of the Master audio, I got more accustomed to the Delgado one. It's very much serviceable. Mm. Not quite Coleshaw's Brigadier, Fourth Doctor, or Ainley level, but
But Coulter's impression of Ainley's Master is brilliant, and I think I'd like to see more of that as well. So that brings us to the end of our latest episode. Coming up on the TARDIS crew over the next couple of months, we've got the Eighth Doctor at Big Finish. We're going to delve a lot more into that. We obviously talked a lot about it as well, so we're going to go into that. We're going to do a Christmas special one, and we're going to go slightly left field, and we're going to go with Big Finish's Triumphs of Midnight as our Christmas discussion.
Indeed.
And we're going to discuss my favourite story, The Seeds of Doom, as well.
Yes, we are.
Fab. So, thanks for joining us for our latest episode. Remember, we are part of the We Made This podcast network. Please subscribe to the TARDIS crew and give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to help out our network, please consider supporting us on Patreon if you go to patreon.com/wemadethis. Doctor Who is not all we'll be discussing, so we'll give you a taste of what else you might have missed on the network in a moment. So join us again for the TARDIS crew, because somewhere there's danger, somewhere there's injustice, somewhere else the tea's getting cold.
Elsewhere on We Made This.
Shipwrecked and Comatose, a Red Dwarf podcast.
So you know how you were both talking about the attractive women and how you spotted a particular one that you liked, etc, etc. Would you like to know what I put in my notes?
Go on then.
Yep.
Love the Cuban heels.
They're very nice heels. And the fact he mentioned in the behind the scenes later on there, was it a size too small?
Yes.
Yeah. That totally hurt. Worth it for Cuban heels. For me, yeah. I'm 6'1", which is ever so slightly above average. If I get a pair of Cubans, I'm 6'3", and I look like a god. Yeah. I f***ing love Cuban heels.
Pick a disc.
The Steps formula at that time was player things. If there's another verse, the fail get it. If they want a little bridge or something like that, they might give it to H or Lisa possibly. But the hook and everything else would have been Claire.
Yeah, exactly. I think, well, I noticed as well, I think Lisa has a lot more kind of solo stuff or solo verses in this album, I think, from what I remember.
Yeah,
as well. So the balance is slowly getting more into things. I mean, but it's something that usually happens in all kind of girl/boy groups.
Frame to frame.
My first trip to the cinema to see a Bond film was Die Another Day.
The first one I saw in the cinema was The World Is Not Enough. I tried to get into Tomorrow Never Dies. I was just too young, and we got rumbled in the queue, and I was absolutely devastated. She went, "Oi, are you 12 years old?" There was a woman in the queue. I thought, I can't remember if it was the woman behind the box office or not. She basically did like a kind of MI6 job on me and scammed me and went, "Oi, no, you're not getting in."
It doesn't sound like it took a lot of interrogation. There was holding a rope with knots in it to you.
He's like, "We know how long I'd last in the field."
are you 12 years old? No,
I am.
It's like the stoning in Life of Brian.
He's like, "I'm sorry, I thought we'd started."
Check out all of these shows and more on the We Made This podcast network.